going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
The conversation is a lot different if Sanders slides again tonight, and there is a feeling out there from the people that are covering this draft that it will happen. Jonathan Jones, who's now the NFL insider for CBS, all but guaranteed an hour ago that Sanders won't go in the first 10 picks of the second round.
Tony, here's another little data point on that one. Daryl Ryder covers the Browns for our sister station, of course, in Cleveland, 92.3.
Yes, weird guy who won't come on the air with us because we made him look bad with Browns fans once upon a time.
Whatever. He said, I will be stunned if the Browns took Shedeur Sanders at 33 or 36 or any quarterback in those spots tonight. So Browns have two picks to start the round in the first, what, five spots? He doesn't think it's happening with them. And then you start to roll down the list. Who's really going to take them?
Right, and so the Saints, apparently, we know they like Jackson Dart more. Jackson Dart's gone, but it didn't sound like they were big Shedeur Sanders fans.
Did he ever even go there for like a visit?
I don't know.
Remember seeing that he did.
I don't think so. We could double check that.
I don't believe he did.
Maybe the Raiders. Maybe. Because
Brady,
Mark Davis
mentorship.
And Brady and... He wouldn't have to play right away. And like Pete Carroll, I could see being like, sure, I can manage the personality and the entourage and Dion and all those things. I coached at USC. We had huge personalities on the Seahawks when we won Super Bowls. Fine, I'll sign up for
also,
that.
Also, if Pete Carroll wants to coach maybe three more years, then Dion just drives right from Boulder to Vegas.
But maybe, but you haven't heard like a ton of buzz on that.
No, you've not.
Schefter said that he thinks Tyler Shuck is going to get drafted before Sanders. I think there's a chance... a good one that Jalen Milroe gets drafted before Sanders now. So you start to push him down the board, and Schefter even went as far as to say that he thinks the Steelers might be the only team
like on day
that it
two.
Makes sense that, yes, that like that's the only logical draft partner for Sanders right now is the Steelers not trading up, not like dealing George Pickens to get a pick to take Shedeur Sanders. Not even moving up in the third round like they did the year they took Mason Rudolph there and said they supposedly had a first round grade. No, just standing pat and taking Sanders with that pick.
Implying that, yeah, if they were to have him there at 83 and decide they liked a different player, that he'd be a day three selection.
And look, you said it. You have crucified Sanders as a first round pick. You would love them taking him in the third round.
It's a very simple concept. Opportunity cost. To draft him is only going to cost you the 83rd pick. Then you take that flyer on the guy.
And you would give it what grade?
I'd give that an A. You get a guy that probably is valued, I would say, his position at least a little higher than you picked him. Yes. I think that's pretty simple. You're taking him 62 spots later after essentially the entire NFL has had a chance to go twice over. And then you're still getting the player?
So here's the consensus from all the draft nicks.
I think he's the second best quarterback in the draft, to be very clear.
And two have already gone.
And so if you got what I would, if I saw my team get the second best quarterback in the draft in the third round, that to me is a good deal.
So Ryan Wilson, who we have on once a week, Carnegie Mellon Educated, CBSSports.com, our draft insider, has Sanders 28th on his board and had him rated ahead of Jackson Dart, so second best quarterback. We know Mel Kiper's ridiculous obsession with Sanders. He had him fifth overall and the number one quarterback. All right, Daniel Jeremiah hasn't gone senile yet and lost his mind. Let's see where he has him. He had Sanders at, I thought, 18. Let me double check that.
18 or 20, maybe?
These pages are sticking together on me. Yes, 20. He had Sanders at 20.
Why are those pages sticking together?
I don't know. And Dane Brugler, yeah, that's kind of a disgusting thought. And Dane Brugler had him 34. So, I mean, if you get a guy that among this consensus media rankings, a guy 34 at 83, and it's a quarterback, that's the opposite of like quarterbacks getting overvalued.
It's going wildly in the other direction. All the things that would have made me incredibly leery and
I'd love it too. I'm going to go on record as saying that.
All those things, he's not a good enough athlete, he's not this, he's not that. At 83, I'm like, man, those are perfectly fine warts for the 83rd pick to have. You can work with the guy. You'd hear my tune on Monday be totally different than it was on Wednesday. I'd be like, wow, you got Harmon, who you needed in the first round, and you got Sanders at 83. Great job by all involved.
Don, how about you?
It's easy. It's an easy decision if he's actually sitting there at 83.
But do you agree with, like, let's just say in some weird world, it's like, I think Field Yates brought this up after the draft last night. Like, fewer and fewer quarterbacks are going in the second and third round. They're either getting drafted in the first round or they're getting pushed all the way to the last day of the draft. If in some bizarro world, the Steelers pick at 83 and no other quarterback has come off the board since Dart, so all the quarterbacks that are in this draft that are left over are available to them. Donnie, you would want them to take Sanders over Milroe, over Howard, over Shuck. You'd want Sanders from that crop of players.
Yeah, I would.
Okay. You too, Malzi? Because I remember you saying you liked Milroe more.
I think Milroe's a more fun lottery ticket to play right there.
He is, but
I don't think the Steelers can make Jalen Milroe into a good quarterback.
That's the other thing.
I'm not sure anybody can, but he has other uses to a team. You draft Jalen Milroe at 83, yes, I have very big long-term concerns, but guess what you automatically have with him? He can play from day one in some capacity as a direct snap it to Jalen Milroe, and buddy, get out of the way. Like, just start running.
Yeah, I mean, he at least
they know
has,
it's coming,
like,
and they can't stop
he
it.
He has one truly elite trait that, like, if a team, I don't know, like the Rams took a flyer with Sean McVay.
Yeah, that's different. We're not the Rams, but I agree with you.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why I would be more comfortable if somehow Sanders does make it all the way there. I think it's an easy turn-in of the card. By the way, I did just want to point out, because you brought up what Field Yates said, go back to that 22 QB class, which we know was not a special one. It did.
That's being charitable.
Yeah. After Pickett in the first round, there were three guys in the third round that went. Ritter, Willis, and Corral all went three.
But none in the second, right?
Yeah. None in the second.
So they all got to the third, though.
Yeah. Then it was one in the fourth, one in the fifth, and then three more guys in round six, which, funny enough, the Steelers have had two of those guys on their roster.
So if you believe, so to recap here, you believe Daryl Reiter, Browns aren't going to do it with the 33rd or 36th picks. The Giants obviously are now not in the quarterback sweepstakes. Where are the Saints picking, 40th or something?
They have two-thirds, too.
Okay.
Ahead of the Steelers.
Saints showed no interest in him by our metric of, like, did he visit
maybe
with
there's
them?
A mystery team.
Well, so people have brought, Schefter brought that up, like Seahawks. He said Cardinals. There was a third team that was very random that he brought up in that classification. It feels like the Steelers, though.
How about Cowboys?
That was the third team. Thank you. That was the third team because of obvious reasons.
What a Jerry move that would be. I just gave Dak all this money. I picked Brian Schottenheimer over his dad to be the head coach.
I think it's really interesting to consider a guy who was getting talked about as, is somebody going to take him at three, or the Giants going to surprise us all? The Steelers might be like the main sort of barrier against him sliding all the way out of the first two
days.
Look,
I don't think it, gun to my head, I don't think it will happen. But I don't think it's impossible that Sanders is there at 83. I'd probably put it at like a 25% chance, but
really?
That's, yeah.
I actually think it's higher that he's there. I think it's, I wouldn't go 50-50 because that's saying a lot. I think we're like inching up towards 40-45% though, man.
All right. Open Phone Friday is next. Any thought on the draft you want, the Derek Harmon pick, what you want the Steelers to do tonight and tomorrow? What your thoughts would be if Shedeur Sanders, if the slide continues, do you even want the Steelers to take him at pick 83? 412-928-9370. That's 412-928-9370.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning. Because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
They're taking a gamble. The teams who need a quarterback, and if you pass on him and he winds up having a Drew Brees type of career, a Tom Brady type of career, he winds up, which he's totally capable of.
I'm sitting there.
You're going to sit back and teams are going to, there's going to be a lot of revisionist history on here.
I get that.
There's going to be a lot of like case studies done on why did people pass on him? Was it because they thought he was cocky? Was it because of his dad? Was it because he was too brat? All the other nonsense that you hear.
At 5:15, time to start your weekend off right with Archie's Famous Wings. The Archman hooking it up for our draft show tonight. Bringing some wings by for Donnie and Crowley, Doran. Kabali might be snookered into sticking around for him.
You think we're allowed to pick at them? Have a few here or there, Donnie?
I mean,
Big Bad Don?
I would say we deserve... I don't know. No, I'm going to say no.
Can I... I'm not attacking Lewis Riddick specifically.
Please attack
here.
Him for saying that...
No.
Shedeur Sanders could have a Tom Brady
I'm
career.
I'm not. I'm just throwing that... I'm sloughing that off to the side. And I don't know, because I'm not listening to what every single person on Twitter or social media is saying about this, that, or the other thing with Shedeur Sanders. But I'm getting very tired of the narrative that's out there. You're not going to draft him because of who his dad is, or because he's too brash, because he's too this, or because he's too that. No, I'm getting very sick of the fact that no one wants to mention the real reason it seems that nobody's drafting him. He's not really that good. The tape isn't great. The scouts don't love him as a projectable pro prospect. Like, it just, it lets the guy off the hook because it turns everyone who's passing on him into some bad guy making preconceived, you know, character judgments about the guy. If he had Cam Ward's tape, he would be gone already.
I'm happy I lost Judge Donnie to you because I argued for ESPN being better than NFL Network. I thought ESPN's coverage of the draft was the worst I'd ever watched. In terms of just like the hyperbolic statements that got made, I get it. We throw things out there because we want to be provocative. We want people to react. Like, there's obviously part of that. You know, like, I believe that Abdul Carter is going to go down as one of the great football players of all time. So, like, obviously...
You also think Travis Hunter is not.
Yeah, so, obviously, I have to, like, take some ownership of that. Like, I don't want to be the guy that's calling the kettle black. But at the same time, Lewis Riddick is out here saying things like, Cam Ward is Patrick Mahomes, and Ashton Jeanty is a better version of Emmett Smith. And what was the Mike Ditka one you reminded me of today, Donnie?
Well, no, they didn't actually make it. Oh. I was just joking.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man, the Bears, they drafted Colston Loveland. Like, he can be the next Mike Ditka.
The Kuiper thing, like, it creeped me out. It bored, like, it sounded like he was the aggrieved dad. Yeah, it like he was the guy who wanted to do what LeBron James did to Stephen A. Smith and confront all of these GMs who weren't taking Shedeur Sanders. Like, he wanted to personally drive to Pittsburgh and punch Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin right in the face. I think I muted the TV at one point because I was watching the Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin press conference on Derek Harmon, or I was like going back and looking for Harmon stuff. So I missed like 10 minutes after the Steelers pick got made. The unhinged rant Kuiper went on when he was talking about the other quarterbacks that Sanders reminded him of that got passed over in the draft. Have you guys seen this?
You've heard this? I have, but I think it's worth making sure our listeners
hear. Johnny Unitas, cut by the Steelers, passed over, right? Nobody wanted. Dan Marino passed over for Cal Davis and Ken O'Brien, right?
Joe Montana went in the third round. Kurt Warner, undrafted free agent. Peyton Manning, people hit the league like Ryan Leaf over him because Phil Polian is going to take him number one overall. Matt Ryan, Jake Long went ahead of Matt Ryan. It took him so far something from Ken Henney over Matt Ryan. Hockey guy, how'd that work out, right? Drew Brees, second round. Chargers, then Miami didn't take him. Goes to New Orleans, right? How'd that work out? Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, Kirk Cousins, fourth round pick. They're all traditional drop back pocket passers. I didn't mention the greatest of all time, Tom Brady, sixth round pick. But just think about that list. The NFL didn't like him back when Johnny Unitas came out of Louisville. They didn't like him now. And it can burn 9 out of 10 times by passing on each guy.
Very hilarious that Billie Jean is getting played by the in-house band.
So very first thought was, I love that Billie Jean is the soundtrack to
this. And
it's
also one of the most hypocritical things I've ever seen done on TV, where Kuiper is now, after the fact, ripping all these teams, like the Steelers for 60 years ago, getting Johnny Unitas wrong. Because the
what,
tradition.
You didn't know coming out of St. Justin's High School he was going to be a star?
He played for the Bloomfield Rams. Yeah, like all of these, like the traditional pocket quarterback has always been like undervalued and underappreciated. He was saying things with a straight face, like, and of course the league passed on Tom Brady. As if he were, like, in 2000, 25 years ago.
He were banging the table for Brady that whole time.
No, we... Donnie and I have gone back.
He probably
and,
said, like, you know, T. Martin, a great guy, won a national title. Peyton Manning couldn't do that.
I think he had Brady rated out as his eighth quarterback. He had Spurgeon win ahead of him. So, like,
can't say Tom Brady when so-and-so's still on the board.
He's saying things like half the league thought Ryan Leaf was just as good as Peyton Manning. Ryan Leaf was a pocket quarterback. With
he
a
also
big
just
like,
randomly brought up Jake Long. He was so on tilt. A guy who had a couple of all-pro nods in his first 4 years.
Donnie,
he was fantastic out of the gate.
I love Kuiper. I mean, we laughed yesterday about the pumpkin pie thing. I honestly thought someone needed like the old like hook from vaudeville to just like snap him off the stage last night. Because what ended up happening, now this is like a rant about sports media, not the Steelers in the draft, I'm sorry. But it just turned into... The whole draft coverage on ESPN was covering Shedeur Sanders and not the draft itself. Everything was about Sanders. And there's the Brady Quinn draft is a perfect example of this, where when Brady Quinn fell in that draft, the entire draft coverage turned into all these teams missing out on Brady Quinn. Meanwhile, all these Hall of Fame players were getting picked, like Joe Thomas, Calvin Johnson, Darrell Revis, Lawrence Timmons, a very good player, got picked by the Steelers. But for 3 hours, all they focused on was Brady Quinn, a guy that ended up sucking in the NFL, dropping into the 20s. Like, we're going to watch back this draft 10 years from now, and we're going to be like, oh my God, did they spend way too much time on Shedeur Sanders? It was brutal.
It felt to me almost like, because Dion used to be one of the talking heads during the draft. He used to be on the NFL Network coverage. He has like a past working relationship with a handful of the guys that were on coverage on either network last night. But it was embarrassing. It was like,
you're going to the E word on this one. You're saying embarrassing.
We have to make sure that we appease Dion. We have to appease Coach Prime because... Man, teams aren't picking his son. Like, they had a very pro Shedeur Sanders agenda.
Very simple question to ask. Why do you need to appease Dion? For what reason? To maintain what relationship?
Everyone, because everyone's his friend?
That's the
only
reason.
Everyone wants to be his friend.
There is no business reason for ESPN to be trying to appease him. Also,
I mean, I thought the Ryan Clark reaction was embarrassing.
We have that. Let's play that. This is from his podcast.
Mason Rudolph! He went to Tennessee and got worse. You know what we're going to do? Oh, let's wait for Eric. Wait for Eric to make a decision.
Listen, Eric going to call. Eric, give him a call.
We let Aaron Rodgers hold us hostage like we a four. We the Pittsburgh Steelers. We're supposed to be acting like a kid. We acting like a four, like we four and up. They better play like the 2008 Steelers because we ain't going to score with 6 down points.
Can we at least guess and try to give him slight grace and say he's laughing about the first part's a joke? He hates Aaron Rodgers. They have beef. The Pittsburgh, we're acting like a four. We're supposed to be a 10's kind of a funny line. I'm trying to give him a little grace here and think maybe he's doing that as a bit a little bit, but he probably isn't.
I think all these people got too close to Deion. And I think Deion has a magnetic personality, an infectious personality.
The kind of guy that makes you want to be his friend because he's so great. He was so great as a player, and he had success so far as a coach.
Like, when I was at the Super Bowl in L.A., like, I saw, now he did not do this specifically with me because I wasn't close enough, but I literally saw him go up to, like, when he was just roaming around the media center, like the radio row. Like, he would cross paths, like, with some guy who did, like, just throwing out, like, out of my ass here. He'd run into someone who did, like, radio in San Antonio, had a mustard stain on his shirt. And for 2 minutes, he would make the guy feel like he was, like, he had just run
like
into
he was also a Hall of
Dan
Famer.
Marino. Yes.
Yeah, it's a great quality to have when you're trying to win people over. One other thing I need to say about this specifically, when Aaron Rodgers fell in that draft, he got covered a lot too. They would show like sad Aaron Rodgers sitting there.
Yep.
There is a big difference here for me with that particular draft to this one, because he got covered a lot. A lot of people said it's coming down to personal preference. Whichever quarterback of Smith and Rodgers the Niners like, the other guy probably will fall. But like they were seen as peers. Like you could make a case for either one. Not one serious analyst other than Kuiper was making the case that Shedeur Sanders belonged in the same conversation for the top pick with Cam Ward. Not one. It became very clear very early in this process that Cam Ward was QB1 and that there was a pretty big drop down to whoever QB2 was. They covered it last night like it was a 50-50 coin flip at number one overall. And can you believe all these teams aren't taking the guy who lost the coin flip? That's not what it is. And it's not what it ever was.
Yeah, and even in the defense of the Roger Smith draft, something we've been over, like the contracts for rookies were so different that like a lot of teams couldn't even do it.
Like, yeah, because of the amount of money that you were going to have to.
Yeah,
that's why
they couldn't
like
even make that work.
Exactly.
So it's not even the same way as it was.
Yeah.
You're right. Good. Very good point. I find the coverage of it pretty embarrassing, and I do think NFL Network is better anyway, but I thought they did, from what I was able to watch, I did not feel like they got caught up in that nonsense the way ESPN did.
So one of the things I said about, you know, getting cold feet about Sanders and feeling at the 11th hour last night, like someone that knows it's, you know, their wedding day and they don't want to go through with it. That's kind of how I felt about him, is that when I saw, this is, you know, you could say this is being too judgmental. I don't care. That's just how I feel. When I just saw like the setup for him at his draft party, it was an immediate turnoff for me. Like all the specialized hats.
Well, he had I sent you guys that TikTok because I didn't realize they had shown it on TV. He had that made for himself, that whole setup.
The legendary thing everywhere.
What was like the weird thing where it had like the two chairs and the table, and then it was like the graffiti style wall with like his name and all that? Was that where he was supposed to like do pressers from?
Then he did, probably. Then he did like a mini concert afterwards when he wasn't picked. Like the whole thing was just bizarre.
Wait,
to me.
He performed?
Yes, he did a musical number after the
was
draft.
Was it like, hello, my lady,
night.
Hello, my darling, know. Hello, my sugar pie?
I doubt that. But yes, he did some. I don't.
He's like that, what's that dancing frog thing?
Like,
you know what I'm talking about, Donnie?
So,
that cartoon?
I do believe this point, and you could say this is unfair, because it's been brought up with guys like Kaepernick, and it's been brought up with guys like Tebow, who obviously stand for very different things. But one of the knocks on those guys, as far as like staying in the NFL after they stopped being starters, ceased to be starters, was that teams were leery of having somebody with that personnel, or like that kind of cult of personality as a backup quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of wonder if that's going to hurt Sanders in the rest of this draft. Like, if you draft him, like, let's say the Steelers do get him at 83. And we've all
drafting him and he thinks he should be the starter no matter where you
pick
him.
But not only that, he gets covered like he's a starter. And there's, like, not just his entourage per se, but there's, like, a media horde. And coaches have to get asked questions about him constantly. And players do. And if you don't think the guy's that great to begin with, do you really want to put up with all that? I think a lot of coaches and teams would not. Now, the Steelers would be different if we really believe that Tomlin has a first-round grade on him and wanted to pick him in the first round, because if that is the case, then of course he'd be ecstatic to get him in the third round. But I think some teams are like, I don't want to deal with all that crap from a third-round pick.
Are you aware who the latest person is who apparently has, and I don't think this is fake.
Did you see the same tweet I...
Yeah.
What?
It was sent to both of us by our buddy Steve, listener Steve. Donald Trump has gone on, I guess it's Truth Social, and sent what do they call them, a truth about him, a post. What is wrong with NFL owners? Are they stupid? All caps. Deion Sanders was a great college football player and was even greater in the NFL. He's also a very good coach, streetwise and smart. Therefore, Shador, his quarterback son, has phenomenal genes, all caps, and is all set for greatness.
Did he spell genes J-E-N?
No, but randomly he capitalized the G in greatness. He should be, in quotes, I don't know why this is in quotes, picked.
That was my favorite part.
Yeah, it's so weird. He should be, in quotes, picked immediately, all caps, by a team that wants to, all caps, win. Good luck, Shador. And say hello to your wonderful father.
And Tommy Tuberville, a great coach. You know, his quarterback was named Mahomes. He was a great college coach. And I said, how good was he? He said, you don't want to know how good. He made me into a great coach. He's pretty good quarterback, right? Yeah, he was very good. He's a good guy, too.